I can think of no better place that you're going to be in contact with people who've already experienced all this, there's just no better grouping of people with the expertise in railway engineering than in AREMA. And there's no other comparable competing association that comes anywhere close. You have other engineering disciplines that have associations out there, but when it comes to railway engineering, AREMA's the top of the heap.
You may know the American Railway Engineering and Maintenance of Way Association, or AREMA, as the, quote, keepers of the manuals. You may know them as the, quote, people behind the largest annual railroad conference in North America. Heck, you may not know about AREMA at all. This podcast is designed, no pun intended, to change your view of who AREMA is and how AREMA has changed the trajectory of many railway careers over its 100-plus year history. Welcome to Platform Chats with your host, Walt Blesser, where he takes a moment to discuss the impacts AREMA has had on the very people who are proud to be called members. Are you ready to roll with AREMA?
This episode is brought to you by Unabridged Structures. Unabridged Structures provides mentorship and advisement to emerging technologies and early-stage companies focused on infrastructure. They have a proven track record of bringing technology solutions to the railway industry. For more on Unabridged Structures, go to unabridgedstructures.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first and premier issue. Actually, it's not even an issue. It's an episode of AREMA's new podcast, Platform Chats. I'm your host, Walt Blesser. I am currently a director of the Structures Functional Group for AREMA. In a previous life at AREMA, I was the chairman of Committee 7, Timber Structures. And prior to that, I also spent time on Committee 10, which is Maintenance and Construction of Bridges. But none of that matters today. We are here to talk about AREMA as a whole and about why your engagement and being a member in AREMA can pay off in the long term. I am super excited today to have my first guest is Ed Sparks. He's the Assistant Chief Engineer of Structures for CSX Transportation, and he's also the immediate past president of AREMA. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hello, Walt. Happy to be here.
So, Ed, how old would you say AREMA is?
AREMA, as it's currently structured, is about 22, 23 years, but it actually dates back to 1900 when you talk about our predecessors. So we're talking about 12 decades there.
So 12 decades, which is older than me, slightly older than you. Yeah.
More than slightly.
Yes, more than slightly. Yes, sir. So would you say in that 12 decade span that they've had a lot of firsts?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what, Ed? This is their first podcast. How cool is that?
It's truly an honor to be on the debut, and happy to be
here. Did I lose you?
No.
Oh, there you are. All right. So, you know what? As anything, your first time around, we're going to have some blunders. We're probably going to have some awkward pauses, right? So I hope that our audience is forgiving. But I'm just super happy to have you here, Ed. And where I'd really like to start is you giving a background to our listeners. You know, you don't just become the president of AREMA. You know, when did you start with AREMA? What was it? Someone you worked with? Was it who got you going to join the organization?
Well, I joined back in 1994. I joined an AREMA predecessor organization, the American Railway Engineers Association. And my supervisors and the department I worked in at CSX at the time, our design and construction department, was a fan of this organization, this association, and they encouraged membership. So when that was brought up, people like Tom Schmidt, Ken Beckham, Hugh Hopkins, etc. Gray Chandler brought that up. I saw it as an opportunity to learn more about the industry, and I jumped at the opportunity as a relatively new hire. So, but that was a long time ago.
So did you go to college?
Yes, sir. I went to University of Kentucky in civil engineering, and then Jacksonville University in business school.
And then you jumped straight into the railroad, or did you work for a consulting firm before that?
I was fortunate to jump straight into the railroad right out of school.
Okay. And so after working for the railroad, the folks you were working with were actually the ones that pushed you to join Arima. And I guess, you know, when you're a young guy coming out of school, starting with the railroad, what is Arima? I mean, how is it described to you, and what was the point of even joining?
Well, the point back then, as a young person right out of school, had a little bit of work experience in the construction industry, you know, during summers and so forth prior to, but not a lot of schools teach a lot of railroad content. It's usually maybe a course or some, you know, an ancillary lecture here or there, but not a lot of railroad content. So my leadership at CSX, when I hired out, thought that that would be a good way to get exposed to the industry, not just the way we did it at CSX, but how others do it, and to get to meet other people, not just railroad people, but people in academia, people in the supplier industry, they were right. It was a good place to learn.
And so, you know, I guess maybe I should even take a step back, because there could be somebody listening to this in their car and they have no idea what ARIMA is. They don't even know what it stands for. So what does it stand for? And you know, I'm going to ask you to go in the Wayback Machine here and maybe help someone like that understand where it even came from. Because I think a lot of our listeners, I'd say a lot of folks, including my wife, who's not too far away from me right now, you know, they probably don't understand the origins of the railway industry and the fact that, you know, all the railroads were frankly, they were cutthroat competitors at one time. They didn't really want to help each other out. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that's been throughout the history. It's a very competitive industry, and competitive advantage is a powerful thing.
Yeah. So ARIMA, I mean, as I get it, you know, stands for the American Railway Engineering and Maintenance of Way Association. And you had mentioned a predecessor. What was the predecessor to ARIMA?
AREA is the American Railway Engineering Association. And then there's some other predecessors, the Roadmasters Association, which is a track maintenance group, Bridge and Building Supervisors Association. You've got the Telephone and Telegraph Association, and part of the American Association of Railroads, the Communication and Signals Group. I think I've covered a lot of them. There might be another one in there that slips my mind at the moment, but it essentially every aspect of the physical plant, the infrastructure that railroads operate on is covered by this association.
And I got to tell our audience that what's impressive about the list you just rambled on was completely in your own head. So that is impressive. So to me, you know, the railroads were working, you know, let's just go back 100, 150 years. They were in competition, but, you know, you're building new infrastructure, right, across basically Greenland or Greenfield, excuse me, where you're building new bridges, new track ties. You're going as fast as you can, right? You're trying to connect cities. And at one time, there had to be an environment for the engineers and the folks that were actually doing the design and construction of this to share ideas. And to me, that's the real roots of this organization. And it has, to your point, it seems like it was mostly small, very specialized or niche groups of folks. And then they all kind of came under one large umbrella, which is ARIMA, right? And that was, when was that? 97?
Right, late 90s. I don't...
Late 90s,
exact year doesn't come to mind, but late 90s.
So how is Arima set up today, Ed? How are they serving all those different niches, if you will?
All right, so we're set up. We have different functional groups that focus on different areas. So you've got the one that you and I have spent a lot of our time in, and that's the structures functional group. And that's subdivided into several different areas of focus, you know, steel structures, concrete, timber. They have a specialty in seismic and inspection and constructions, and then clearances. And each of those groups, subgroups, if you will, or committees, focus on that area. We have the same thing in communications and signals, in track, maintenance of way, engineering services, etc. So those areas each have their own sub-disciplines, if you will, or specialty areas that focus on, essentially, it's a modern version of all those predecessor organizations. There's been consolidation in the industry. There's been consolidation in the associations, and that's how our group breaks it down and how we specialize, if you will.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. So each of those groups then has kind of a big responsibility, right, in that they are maintaining over 100 years worth of knowledge, really, and updating it to modern standards for the industry at large. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's one of their main responsibilities is to curate and develop the deposit of knowledge that that they've been blessed to inherit. And we deal with recommended practices, the best ways to do things, materials, how to design things. You get the industry experts together, and the output of that, discussion, of that interplay between those individuals is the continuing development of that material. And it's a interesting thing to be a part of.
It really is. I mean, I can tell you, Ed, I went to a cocktail party over a year ago now, since we've had this COVID shutdown, and it was my wife's where she works. And someone asked me what I do. And I said, I work in the railway industry. And I remember specifically the wife of the gentleman that asked the question looked at me and said, "Oh, my kids love Thomas the Train."
Me too.
And I feel like, that's great, but there is a gigantic industry that is the railway industry that really is behind the scenes. And I think the average American probably doesn't know just how massive it is. And where I'm going with this is how important it is for people to work in this industry, and how rewarding a career can be working in this industry. I'll just put you right out there, Ed, would you consider your career at CSX rewarding?
Absolutely. I'm truly blessed for the opportunities that I've had, and the positions that I've been able to experience at CSX and in this industry. It's been tremendous. It's a very good industry. I encourage everyone to be a part of it. It's both big and simultaneously small. It's an interesting mindset here in that we span the continent, not CSX per se, but the North American railway industry connects every major market in North America, and to play a role in that and the important work that is performed by the railroad industry is tremendous. And I consider it to be very fortunate to be in the industry. I hired out in a time back in 1994 when the industry wasn't doing a lot of hiring. In fact, it still coming out of the through the deregulatory phase, there was a lot of streamlining. It's quite the opposite. So to be able to enter the industry at that time was tremendous. And the opportunities both for me and those who followed me into the industry have been ample. I mean, there's a lot of work to do in the railroad business. So I encourage anybody who's interested to certainly give it a serious look.
Yeah, let's jump on that. You know, you talked about folks that might be following in your footsteps. You know, let's say we've got a gentleman or a young lady that went to college. I can tell you when I was in school, we didn't really talk about railroads. I went and worked for a decently large architecture engineering firm, consulting firm, if you will, that, you know, they play in horizontal transportation, highways, railroads. Found myself in a railroad group. You know, someone throws me a set of 100-year-old linen drawings to look at to create a structural model, and you start to get intrigued about the history and what you're about to work on. And someone says, "Hey, why don't you join ARIMA?" Right. So, why would you tell that guy to join ARIMA? I mean, what if that individual, the young lady, young man, said, "Ed, hey, you know, I think this stuff's interesting. I've been out of school for 2 or 3 years. I'm thinking about joining ARIMA." What are you going to tell that guy?
Well, that is, my response would be, I can think of no better place that you're going to be in contact with people who've already experienced all this, there's just no better grouping of people with the expertise in railway engineering than in ARIMA. And there's no other comparable competing association that comes anywhere close. You have other engineering disciplines that have associations out there, but when it comes to railway engineering, ARIMA's the top of the heap. And so you're going to be able to interact with people, and not just other engineers, but suppliers, construction firms, you know, people who actually build what the engineers design. That's an important component that sometimes gets lost. I remember when, as a new hire in Cincinnati, Ohio, I was working for a fellow by the name of Gary Chaney, who since unfortunately passed away, but he was an artist with, he still did the hand drawings. You talked about linen. He did ink on vellum, which probably sounds ancient to some of our listeners here, but it was essentially the predecessor to CAD, computer aided design. And his work was distinctive, clear, and it was like, it was a piece of art, and it was very, it was very effective on one sheet. He could tell the story of, you know, a new industrial sidetrack being put in or whatnot. So having learned under him for several months and doing some drawings of my own, I realized that it's one thing to put it on paper. It's another to go out and build it. And so in ARIMA, you have the people who build it as well. You have contractors, you have railroad frontline supervisors, you have regulators, you have folks from the environmental field. You have all these different things that touch a project, and it's all there. And so that you can interact with those people and bounce ideas off of them, or like I do whenever I've joined a committee, and I've been on a few different ones throughout my career. I was in Committee 14, which was yards and terminals. I'm currently an active member of Committee 5, which is track, and 15, which is steel structures. If you don't know a lot about the topic and you're new, you go participate, sit back and listen. You'd be amazed at the conversations that you can be a part of, and you learn a lot just by being there and then being able to interact. And then when you can put in your two cents, you know, you can, it doesn't take long where, when you participate like that all of a sudden you're providing, valuable feedback, some input to help steer the conversation towards, well, what is back to the original example, a constructible design, not just something that looks good on paper, but what's something that can actually be built and serve the railroad reliably for decades and possibly centuries.
Let me jump right in there. You said a couple things that really resonated with me. I mean, you're basically describing almost in an apprenticeship. I think that, yes, there are programs in the U.S. that offer railroad education, but I think we both will probably agree that your railroad education is going to come after college, and it's going to come learning from those that have been there, done that. Yeah.
True.
Okay. So yeah. And you even said, I think you used the word absorb. I thought that was a really good term. So by joining AREMA and choosing a technical committee to be a part of, coming in and just listening and absorbing the knowledge that's being discussed as they maintain the manual, right? So I guess for our listeners, these committees, you mentioned the three that you're on, what is their role in the organization?
Well, I'm only on two now. There's only so much time in the day, but I used to be on another. But the role that they have, among other things, is they're responsible for a chapter in one of our manuals. So AREMA has some publications that we maintain and develop. One of them is a manual for railway engineering, and it has a multitude of chapters, and the chapters correspond with the number of the committee. So, for example, steel structures is committee 15. They're responsible for chapter 15 of the book. And that provides they're not standards, but rather they're a recommended practice for design, for construction, for inspection, etc., maintenance. So inside each of those committees are subcommittees that work on different parts of that chapter. And you might ask, well, what do you mean by work on? Well, if it's a topic that is something that's been around for many decades, it may just be checking that material and determining, is it still relevant for modern day? If it's not, well, how do we need to update it so that it is current and relevant? If it is, we just reaffirm that that's still good, and we move on. There's other areas where technology is developing, and you know, maybe it's a new type of coating for a structure, or you know, some new type of material that's being used, new type of fastener, new type. I mean, the signal world is replete with many examples of new technology through positive train control has been developed and rolled out across the United States, part of North America. So there's a lot of different examples, and the members of that committee, or the subcommittee, et cetera, bring that information and recommended practices for their particular area of focus or discipline into writing, into diagrams, et cetera, that can be used by the people who purchase our publications as a good reference, a good guide on how to design, construct, maintain, and inspect whatever that component or system is. So it can be pretty in depth, it's always a good use of time. It's I find it humorous when having a bunch of engineering types debating about colon versus semicolon and all that sort of stuff and the minutia of a document, but that does not dominate the discussion. It sticks to a lot of the content, and you can get some good debate behind the scenes. And lastly, on that point, not to belabor the fact, but just it's very interesting to be a part of the development of this and know that for potentially generations, this will be the material that's referenced by our successors and used. And it's good to be working on something that's useful and developing your career at the same time.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. And I agree with you. I think I've been in part of plenty of meetings where the should versus shall gets debated at nauseam. Always fun.
Oh yeah, good times.
Yeah, I mean, I know personally, I joined ARIMA about, I think I was 2 or 3 years out of school. I don't remember now. But your point of coming in and just listening, how many times do these committees meet? Like, what kind of time commitment could someone expect from joining one?
The time commitment is not that much. Typically, most committees will meet at least once, some twice, and I know of one at least meets 3 times per year. Those, obviously, with the pandemic, we've transitioned a lot to some online platforms to help continue the business, but hopefully that will get back to some in-person meetings as soon as it's safe to do so, but which hopefully will be coming soon. But nonetheless, the meetings typically will last a couple of days. We try to locate them centrally or near a project of interest. That's another thing that one of the things I miss in the pandemic world, if you will, is the two committees I'm active on currently, usually one of their meetings every year will be co-located near something of interest, whether it's a supplier or a construction project, and there'll be a tour that will be involved. Not mandatory. There's hardly anything that's mandatory, if you will, but a great learning opportunity to see how other people do it. And that's a powerful thing. I can't speak too well from it from a regulator or supplier consultant side of the things, but from a railroad side of things, one of the perspectives you often hear in your day-to-day life is, well, that's the way we've always done it. When you question, well, why do we do things? Well, that's the way we've always done it. Okay. Yep. Okay. But why? Well, that's been lost to history. It was developed. It works. Don't rock the boat, so to speak. Well, ARIMA is a good place to find out that why, or better yet, to see how other people do it. And is there a better way? And with our streamlined staffing levels of the modern railroad, you don't have a lot of opportunities to get out and see how other people do it. ARIMA is a great way to do that.
Okay, so we're looking. You've said a lot there, but I'm just going to tell you, I agree with everything you said. You're looking at a couple of meetings a year. You're able to, if you're in Jacksonville, you can see how the people at Omaha lay ties on their open deck bridges. If mm-hmm. you're in, if you're sitting in Fort Worth, you can see how the guys in Atlanta inspect their bridges with a UAV. You can kind of just share experiences, right? And then that's kind of the beauty of ARIMA. The committees and it's not one voice, right? It's not just the voice of one railroad. It's more of a consensus document, right?
It's the industry.
It's the industry. Yeah. And if you stay involved enough, you can hold an officer level role on a committee, which then you can move up, if you will, to a director role. And then the directors have an interesting job where we review the abstracts and the papers for the Big Fall Conference. Do you want to touch on the conference at all and the importance of attending the Fall Conference, understanding that we're hoping, fingers crossed, to be in person next fall?
Absolutely. Yeah, our conference is probably one of the areas that our members get some of the best value. We have an annual conference and expo every year. We alternate with some other associations that do an even bigger show called Railway Interchange. That's coming up this year in Indianapolis. So fingers crossed, like you said, we'll be back to in person again this year. But it's a great opportunity to get together. And there's presentations throughout. So there's our suppliers and service providers have information booths. It's a great opportunity to network, meet, to discover new tools, new equipment, new firms that you may not have been familiar with, methods, et cetera. And then you've got the technical committee, technical presentations. Some of them are just really interesting, I call them show and tell projects with lots of photos of interesting construction methods and things of that nature. Some of them are extremely in-depth academic studies with, you know, all sorts of Greek letters and such. And you know, everywhere in between. It covers the regulatory side, the engineering services, you know, what's the latest in intermodal terminal technology. If you want it, it's there when it comes to the railway industry. And there's some large sessions. There's smaller 30-minute sessions that are running concurrently, so you can stay in your lane, so to speak. If I'm a bridge person, I can stay in the structure side. But what I like to do is to challenge myself to get out of that and at least look at one of the presentations in the other functional groups just to see how the other half lives, so to speak, and potentially learn something else. But it's a great opportunity over 2.5-3 days, typically all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and half a day Wednesday, to really, really learn a lot of information, meet a lot of people, and bring value back to your organization wherever you may work. It's really, really great way in a short period of time to learn a lot.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite week of the year. I enjoy in the industry. I enjoy going there. It's kind of like it's almost like coming back from summer vacation when you're in fifth grade and you get to see all your friends again and see what they've been up to for the last year and watch their show and tell, like you said, about the technologies and things that have been developed and whatnot at the show. You've covered a lot of really strong points that I wanted you to cover. I think that if I am that young person or I am that member of AREMA and I want to get more engaged, but I don't really understand the value. I think the value does go beyond just maintaining that chapter. It sounds like there's really an apprenticeship here in not only just taking the industry forward, but it sounds like listening to you, if you're in the trenches developing this, the chapter, there's a pretty simple byproduct there of developing some pretty strong trusted relationships. Would you agree with that?
I would. Absolutely. When you join this association, and if you're not a member, I encourage you to be one. Some of the tangible things you get right off the bat, okay, a magazine starts showing up at your door, Railway Track and Structures. That's got some good information in it. And the publications, good information in it, but it's the people. It's the people, the relationships, the connections, the networking, and the knowledge. All that makes it a good value for your association dollar.
Yeah, it is the people. I agree with you. I know we spoke about this previous time. I've made a couple career changes in the last decade or so, and I can tell you, you come and a lot of times people come and go from different firms and different suppliers and consultants or whatever, but the relationships that you develop at AREMA and the relationships you develop with your customer base, you build a level of trust that I just don't believe you can build elsewhere. So that if you decide to take that leap or you decide to start your own company, whatever you decide to do, you go visit someone at CSX Transportation, for example, you're not just walking in the door as someone that's an unknown, right? You're someone that's performed elsewhere, and has kind of established a level of rapport, which I'm sure that can go, I guess that could go both ways, right, Ed?
Absolutely. And I agree with everything you just said there. And I'll add this, that, and I mentioned it in some of the articles I wrote when I was president, is this association adds value, and not just to your employer or the company, if you happen to be a sole proprietor or whatnot. It adds value to you, the person, and that is value that's transferable. It goes with you, sort of like earning a credential. You know, like in the civil engineering world, a professional engineer's license is an important threshold or objective to obtain, and it's something that's portable. It's just like knowledge; it goes with you, and it adds value to you, the person. You know that you can be a resource to others wherever you go, whatever you do. So I agree with you. It's just a good way to get the most out of a career in the railroad industry.
Excellent. Well, you've been a fantastic first guest, and I kind of want to leave this podcast on a note where you mentioned earlier about how you joined the industry at a time when jobs were not being handed out left and right. And, you know, if you've got an individual that's out there, we're in a stressful economic time with the pandemic and whatnot, you've got precision scheduled railroading affecting the number of employees at the big railroads. What kind of advice would you give to an individual looking, where would they look, to try to join this industry or to become a part of the railway industry?
Well, excellent question. ARIMA does have a career resource that's part of our organization. People do advertise there. Over and above that, I would say, and this is what worked for me, I was very persistent. I wanted to be in the railroad industry, and I even passed by an opportunity with a very good geotechnical engineering firm in order to work in the railroad industry. And it is a good industry. I'll take that back. It's a great industry. And while there aren't an overwhelming number of, you know, vacancies and hirings, and railroads aren't adding personnel left and right, there are always opportunities for good people. Railroads, and I'm sure consultants and suppliers, manufacturers, regulators, contractors, you name it, everybody is looking for good people because that's what makes a business a success. So the railroad industry, just speaking from my own experience, you know, we seem to hire cyclically with, you know, we'll have a wave of retirements and then a wave of hiring, et cetera. And I happened to hire in when there wasn't much hiring going on. Those times come and go. Be persistent. It's a very good industry to be a part of. It's not an easy industry to be a part of. So I don't want to paint such a rosy picture that, you know, it can be very challenging. It's a 24/7 operation that's often staffed for one shift. Field operations is very real that way, but it's also very rewarding. There's few industries I can think of where right out of school or right out of industry or the military or wherever you come to this industry, where you can, in a very short amount of time, have a tremendous amount of responsibility. And that's a good thing, because you have responsibility and the resources to do something with that. And it can be very rewarding, and it can make for a rewarding career. So, you know, ARIMA is a great part of that. You know, I just go back to be persistent.
I agree. I think being persistent's fantastic. I think you're right. No matter what the industry, railroad, healthcare, whatever, good people are good people, right? And I think the industry's looking for those folks. And if you're persistent and you show passion or you show an interest, you can absolutely land a spot in this industry. And I think ARIMA is just another one of those vessels along the road to basically enriching your career in the industry and allowing you to meet folks from all different backgrounds. So, well, Ed, I got to tell you, man, this has been fun. I can't believe it's 2021. There's snow on the ground here in Denver, Colorado, and you're probably sitting in shorts in Jacksonville, Florida, and we are able to produce a podcast like this. It's just It's a great time to be alive, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you for the honor of being the first.
You will forever be the first. You'll forever be the first guest on Arima's platform chats. And I want to thank our listeners. And I really want to thank you, Ed. And I thought you served the association well as a president. And I'm sorry you did not get to do all the in-person presidential duties, if you will, at the big show. But if we're in person this year, I'm hoping that you get a little flavor of that. So thanks again for being on, my friend.
Happy to be here. Thanks much. All the best.
Thank you for rolling with Arima on today's episode of Platform Chats. For further information about Arima, please visit arema.org or contact us at info@arema.org.